First, one of the clearest signs of a growing local economy is often new businesses popping up and older businesses staying open. In rural parts of the country, after the Great Recession, new business development has been tough to come by, but not all rural communities are the same. Our next guest took a closer look at the different types of rural communities in Wisconsin and around the country and measured their rate of business growth from 2010 through 2016. He found that some factors like immigration, a nearby college, or a large senior population can provide a leg up. Benga Ajilore is a senior economist at the Center for American Progress. Benga, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Talk about the that one measure, the idea of our new businesses opening as an indicator of a local economy.
So new business growth is very important, especially in the aftermath of recession, because it kind of speaks to the strength of the economy. So if people feel good about the economy, they feel comfortable about their situation, they're going to want to start businesses. And the other thing is, to start a business, you got to have people who want to go to your businesses. So when you have new firm growth, that means that there's a huge demand for goods and services. So that's a great measure of how the strength of the economy is.
If I'm reading your data right, in the Great Recession, urban areas took a big hit when it came to business growth, but they've been where the new business growth has been concentrated ever since then. Do I have that right?
That is correct. In the aftermath of the Great Recession, especially 2010 and 2011, a lot of these major metropolitan areas found a lot of businesses go down. But then after 2012, they really started to recover. It's the other communities that did suffer a little bit, but have not recovered since then.
Let's turn to the rural areas. And one thing I learned from looking at your report, it's hard to talk about them in general. You really broke them down into a lot of different ways. Why can't we take a one-size-fits-all approach when we think of rural economies?
So when we talk about rural America, to me, it's a misnomer because there's so many different communities, so many vibrant and diverse communities. So a lot of the work that we have done here at CAP really tries to break down rural America to its component parts. So there's places in the South, rural South, that is very vibrant and diverse, the Southwest, Northwest, Great Plains. And so what we want to do is when we talk about rural America, we actually want to focus on certain places. So in this report, what I did is took data called from the American Communities Project. It's a project out of George Washington University here in D.C., where they broke it down demographically and socioeconomically. So that way we get a better sense of the different communities and the vibrancy of these communities, and it helps us to tell better stories about what's going on in rural America.
Benga Ajilore is with us from the Center for American Progress, looking at business growth in rural America. I just threw quotes around rural America because, as we just heard, it means a lot of different things. Benga, when we find success, when we find business growth outside of those urban areas, what kinds of non-urban areas seem to be doing the best?
So one of the things that my analysis found is that there's a lot of rural communities that are recreation dependent, that have nice amenities, nice looking places. And there are also places that a lot of older people retire to. So this is referred to as the graying America communities. And so a lot of those places found a lot of growth in these places.
And let's take things here in Wisconsin now. What were the types of areas we had here in the state?
So unlike other places around the country, the graying America communities in Wisconsin did not find firm growth. What we found is actually a lot of the college towns had a lot of firm growth, starting with Madison, Eau Claire, and Stevens Point. Those are the places that had the largest firm growth in Wisconsin.
Yeah, what's going on there? We're kind of bucking the national trend. I guess we're not seeing people retire to these graying areas, they're called in the report, these places where there are a lot of older people. Why would that be different than the rest of the country?
I think it's different here because, especially in the kind of northern Midwest area, a lot of these colleges were founded in capital cities. And a lot of these colleges and institutions became anchor institutions, which drive a lot of state economic growth. So these land-grant institutions, not just in Wisconsin, but you think about Columbus, Ohio, Lansing, Michigan, Urbana-Champaign, these are there for this to create economic growth and be the engine for state economic growth. So I think that's what the data is showing us in Wisconsin.
Another type of area is what we think of, I guess, as a traditional Midwest working class area. And I think of that maybe being in a place that relied on one or two factories, many of which aren't there anymore. What do we see in that kind of area, nationwide and in Wisconsin?
So working class country is one of the places that is falling behind in terms of firm growth. Again, as you described, that they were very much one institution, very one kind of industry, very much a blue collar. You think about blue collar that have fallen behind and have not recovered. And so one of the things we kind of want to focus on is what's going on there and what, how can things change in order to drive more growth in these areas.
You also looked at immigration, international immigration, and that that can point communities in different ways when it comes to firm growth, to this new business development. What do we see there?
So with a lot of rural communities, the biggest issue over the last not just 10 years since the Great Recession, but even beforehand, is a loss of population. And when you have a decline in population, that's going to lead to decreases in firm growth. So immigration, especially what these areas called Hispanic centers, have reversed that population growth. So you have increased immigration, you have more people coming in, and from there you have a demand for goods and services, which then leads to that firm growth. So if you push for immigration, push for more population, and reverse these long-running declines, that can lead to new firm growth.
Well, let's talk about what kind of policies could help boost development. Just looking at the charts, it seems like the clear solution is open more colleges, but that doesn't seem to be the wave of the future. For that county, say, that doesn't have that anchor public institution like that, what are some strategies they could use to boost business creation?
So the biggest thing they can do is try to attract population and so kind of create an environment for more people to come in. So there's a number of places that actually think about, say, loan forgiveness programs. So people who go to law school, medical school, and think about what are some of the services that are needed. So service sector is a big part of rural America. And so if you get people to come to your community to take these jobs and give them that incentive, you want to reverse that population decline. And so when you have those people come in, then that's going to lead to that new firm growth and then increase the tax base, which then you're able to provide more services.
Right. It seems like there's a potential and the reality in some cases of a downward spiral. There's fewer people. That means fewer businesses. Fewer businesses means fewer jobs. So the place is less attractive to people. And it keeps reinforcing itself. Is part of the answer there just trying to figure out where to interrupt that cycle?
Definitely. And so the question is, who are you going to try to attract? And I think immigration is probably the easiest group to attract because people are going to want to come to America, are going to want to come to communities that have maybe a lower cost of living, that have the potential for growth. And so a lot of immigrants coming in, that's going to help reverse that trend.
One other fact you look at in your report is consolidation in different industries. So where there might have been, 20 different companies of one type, now there's just one or two that can really dominate a community. What kind of impact does that have?
So what happens there is that you have this one firm, and then the biggest problem there is that they are able to exert market power so that the job quality goes down. So before, when you had three or four firms competing for workers, they have to provide good benefits. You think about the increased unionization, things like that. But when you have one firm through consolidation, then they're able to exert power, kind of push in the, say, the political process to kind of remove worker power rights. And so that's kind of the biggest problem here, so that it's not the jobs that be able to provide that good living, that comfortable living.
Now, one example you gave was of, chicken processors in some communities really being the employer in maybe a whole county. Where else, what other kind of sectors do we see this in?
So we've seen that, especially in rural communities in the South with the auto industry. There's a number of firms that moved away from, say, Michigan, Ohio, down to a lot of the southern states, and then really kind of put in these small places to be the only firm so that this is the only place for people to get a job. But they weren't providing the job quality or the benefits. As you mentioned before, meat packing plants in Nebraska and other places like that, where they move to rural communities where they get to be the only firm in the area.
Benga Ajiloria is with us, senior economist at the Center for American Progress. We're looking at business development, new business creation, and keeping those old businesses around, too, in different types of communities since the Great Recession, focusing on non-urban communities, different types of rural areas around the state and around the nation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you see as successful or less successful in your part of the state? What kind of businesses are doing well? Do you see new businesses starting up? Or do you see people closing up shop in your part of the state? If you personally have started a business, still open or not, either way, in a rural part of Wisconsin or our neighbors, we'd love to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Benga Ajilore is with us, senior economist at the Center for American Progress, talking about business development in different types of rural communities in Wisconsin and around the country in the years after the Great Recession. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Give us your report from on the ground. What does this look like from your part of the state? Has your community seen new businesses opening up in the last decade or closing? What's working in the favor of new business creation? What do you think could help your area do better? And if you personally have opened up a business outside of Wisconsin's biggest cities, what's your experience been like? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Benga, big picture, what is your worry if we have these, you know, big urban communities going gangbusters with new business creation, the rest of the country lagging behind, stagnant, or going in a negative direction?
You're already seeing the big problem is that we have these superstar cities, so-called superstar cities, that are really doing really well. People are making a lot of money, but there's a lot of people who are struggling in a lot of these places. Even some of the major metropolitan areas are struggling, and we just can't keep having this divergence between regional areas that people are just going to be struggling, and we want people to do well. So we need to have firm growth and need to focus the policymakers need to target these rural areas for growth.
Let's talk about some policy options now. And you've mentioned immigration as one of them. At the federal level, what kind of things could be done to help promote business creation in these areas, again, outside of those so-called superstar cities?
So there's a lot of entrepreneurship programs that have been promoted by the federal government in the past. So one specific one is called the State Small Business Credit Initiative. And this was a program where the federal government gave money to the states to have a number of different programs, say grants to individuals to start businesses, loans to individuals to start businesses, also targeting people who normally don't start businesses. So people from disadvantaged communities, people of color. So programs to let the states have flexibility to kind of promote entrepreneurship, but then it targets not just the large cities, but the rural communities. Another one to look at is community development corporations. So there's a lot of local groups, a lot of development hubs to try to kind of focus on what's happening at the local level. And then once that goes up, then, you know, people are able to kind of push these programs.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Dave is with us in Toma. Dave, hi.
Yeah, hi. I'm listening to you talk about the same old thing. It's been the same thing forever. We have to grow, and we have to save all these communities. Why? We have thousands of communities that have disappeared in Wisconsin over time. Why do we have to save everyone that is there? And this grow, and import workers, the world can't sustain this policy that we've had forever. That's what's gotten us where we are. And it just doesn't make any sense. Why can't we let some of nature go back to nature and let some of these towns that used to survive on tourism make Wisconsin a more favorable place and let tourism replace a lot of these factories and things out in the rural areas and let the rural areas go back to where they used to be?
Dave, thanks for the call. Benga, Dave saying we don't necessarily need to worry if some of these smaller communities fade off the map over time.
I would like to push back on that because I think we actually make decisions about who gets to survive and who gets to thrive. A lot of these communities that have done well, so you look at Madison. Madison's the capital city. And Madison, if it wasn't the capital city, probably would not thrive. And so we're always making decisions about who gets to survive and who gets to die. And so my look on this is that we want to kind of shift who gets money and who gets to get to kind of focus on that. And so I would like to say that some of the rural communities, we should make the choice to try to help them out as opposed to just always focusing on the major cities.
Dave, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Benga, Dave also talked about the role of tourism there a little bit. He thought maybe that could be something that some of these small towns turn to or maybe turn back to. Is that part of a viable strategy, at least for some of these smaller communities?
Definitely is. So not in Wisconsin, but in Colorado and in Wyoming, some of those other gray America communities, what they've done is that they used to be extractive or mining industries, and they've moved away from that to kind of take advantage of their natural amenities and then kind of focus on tourism. So tourism has been the story in a lot of places throughout the country, especially rural communities.
Dave, thanks for that call. 800-642-1234 is the number. Benga Ajilore is with us from the Center for American Progress, talking about a report he put out on business creation in different types of communities around the country, focusing mostly on rural parts of the state and the country and the different things that seem to work or not work when it comes to new business growth, which in turn is a big part of the overall economy. Benga, I want to steer away from the rural parts for a moment. You mentioned that there were a lot of superstar urban areas, some urban areas not doing so well. Looking at your chart, Milwaukee, Wisconsin's biggest city, does not seem to be on that superstar city category.
Definitely not. It's been struggling, and even the communities outside of Milwaukee are struggling. And so there's a number of other communities you think about in the working class country area. So you think about places like maybe Detroit, Indianapolis, haven't done as well as some of the larger ones. But Milwaukee has definitely been struggling.
What is there a strategy there to make sure growth, even among urban areas, isn't just in, you know, that handful of urban areas?
So a number of scholars around and researchers have focused on trying to – the biggest thing I think is if you think about venture capital. Venture capital has gone to just very few cities, Boston, New York, and San Francisco. And so, you know, 90% of money has gone to those places. If there's a way to kind of make that capital go to other places like the Detroits, the Indianapolis, the Milwaukees, and try to focus on those areas and try to, you know, target money towards that, that might help recover.
Is there a success breed success thing going on here where, hey, the Silicon Valley or whatever is doing well, that lures more venture capital in and by, I guess by definition draws it away from other areas?
Yeah, so a lot of that has to do with like kind of a cluster that if you have one good firm but they don't have other people to bounce ideas off, it's not going to be successful. But you have 4, 5, up to 10, then all of a sudden you create this community that's able to thrive and enable people move around from different places. And then other people are going to want to start businesses. So what you want to try to do is create this kind of critical mass of firms to kind of expand.
Is it possible to take that critical mass and let it help the surrounding areas more? Silicon Valley, you know, it's its own concentrated thing. In Dane County, which you look at, there are health information firms that are boosting the county, not necessarily helping the area. I know the Foxconn development, people are hoping that starts a cluster. How do you make that local success when it happens spill over into the rest of a county, a region, a state?
It's a very difficult problem that a lot of local officials have tried to tackle. One of the concerns when you think about Foxconn, and this actually goes out to a lot of the other firms, like you think about Amazon, the HQ2 decision, is that you have these state and local officials giving tax incentives, property tax abatements, and in a way just kind of giving away the farm to have these firms come in. And what you want to try to do is actually spur entrepreneurship, startup activity, so kind of locally grow. So that's why sometimes these universities are the best place to start, because you have these people, students, faculty, who are at these institutions who get kind of federal research dollars to try these ideas. And if they do well, then they could work with the university to kind of start their business in that community. And then that's a way to kind of develop these clusters.
I want to visit a little bit of the rest of the country. There are some particular types of areas that we don't have here in Wisconsin. I think you have Church of Latter-day Saints, enclaves, rural African-American high poverty areas in the South. What do you watch for in the rest of the country that might not be as familiar here in Wisconsin?
So focus on the southern area, because if you look at a lot of the kind of metrics, so you say upward mobility. So you look at the probability that someone is born in the, you know, low income and they get to move up to upper income. What you notice is that in the southern area, they aren't doing that well. And it's one of those things where you look at persistent poverty, you look at median income, you look at educational attainment, that there's low educational attainment. And so all those areas in the African-American South. Another similar area is the evangelical hub. So you have a lot of people with high religiosity. Those places are doing poorly. And so one of the questions is what's happening there? And so there, unlike the upper Midwest, is there not a lot of educational institutions. There's a few land-grant institutions, but there's not a lot of other institutions. So what ends up happening is that you have this lack of an institution that can help you move up. because you contrast that with Wisconsin, you have the UW system where you have Eau Claire, Stevens Point, La Crosse. You have a number of institutions throughout the state that could be a hub for an anchor institution. In the South, they don't have those, and so you see a lot less opportunity for upward mobility.
You've got all this information out here, the data, the charts. Who are you hoping sees this, and what are you hoping they do with this information?
So first and foremost, a lot of the target is the media, because when the media talks about rural America, and we've seen this during the election season, is that they have a very limited idea of who lives in rural America. And so first thing is just to have these different categories that even within Wisconsin, you have a number of different types of communities, number of different type of rural communities. And then second, the focus is on policymakers so that they understand what are some of the real issues, that it's not all about agriculture. Agriculture is a very big part, and we have to have good policies for agriculture. But there's other industries, manufacturing, mining, even recreation dependent. And so when policymakers understand the diversity of the economy in all these rural communities, then they're going to come up with solutions that are more locally appropriate and more and will be more effective for the citizens.
Benga, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Benga Ajilore is a senior economist at the Center for American Progress. He talked with us about his research on how different types of rural communities have fared with new business development since the Great Recession. As he was just saying, to shake up what we think of as a rural community when it comes to economic development. You can still share your thoughts, maybe your experiences or observations of what's going on in your own backyard. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR.